We'll ask you to return to Genesis chapter 14 for a few minutes today. Genesis chapter 14. Our series might be titled, What Went Wrong? And we're going to be looking at two of the principal people in the Old Testament. One is Lot, and the other will be King Saul. And the question arises, what went wrong in the lives of these men? Because certainly they started out well, and yet in both cases they finished up miserably. And you wonder, how did they get from here to there? And how can we avoid doing the same thing? I just want to remind you that in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, the Apostle Paul gives a short list of incidents in the life of the nation of Israel and the Old Testament folks. And he says, these things were written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the ages have come. And the word admonish means to warn or to caution. And so we should be cautioned. We should be warned against falling into the traps and the errors that these fell into. Well, we come to chapter 14, and the interesting thing is, in all of this historical account, Lot's name is only mentioned twice. You see, Abram mentioned a lot more than that. You see, introduced to us in this chapter, one of the great characters of the Old Testament, who is spoken of in the New Testament quite a bit in the book of Hebrews. That's a fellow named Melchizedek, and actually, that probably was not his name. That was more likely his title. He was the king of righteousness. And also king of Salem, which later was called Jerusalem. But the point here is that Lot only appears twice. And I think there's a good reason, but it's a reason that we need to consider. And it has to do with conformity. Conformity. Now, I grew up, people like me and Bobby and folks of that generation grew up during the nonconformist era. You wanted to not conform to anything except to each other. You wanted to conform to your age group, but not to the previous generation. By the way, that's not just the era in which I grew up. I think every generation goes through that to a greater or a lesser extent. You want to be like all the other kids, but you don't want to be like mom and dad, you know, and this sort of thing. So there is such a thing as conformity that is good. And our memory verses this morning talk about that very thing, that the day is coming when he will transform this humble body into conformity with the body of his glory. Well, that's a good conformity. I'm looking forward to that. But in general, the Bible tells us to be careful about being conformed, and especially to being conformed to this world. Last week when we started the series, we made reference, and I'm making reference to it again this morning, Romans 12, verse 2. Romans 12, verse 2. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. We're not to be conformed to this world. And I want to submit to you that that was Lot's major problem. He conformed himself to this world. Last week we saw that he lifted up his eyes and he looked on the plain of the Jordan and the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah and saw how wonderful it was before the Lord destroyed that area. But prior to that, it was a wonderful place. It was lush. It was green. It was everything that you could desire. And there he went. And last week we left Lot where it says he pitched his tents near to Sodom. Now, remember that he and Abram had been living in tents all this time. They hadn't built houses. They hadn't founded a city, anything. They were a pilgrim people. Abram remained a pilgrim. So far as we know, he never built one thing in his life except this, altars. He was an altar builder. He worshiped God. But he never built a house. He never built a palace. And the Bible says he was extremely wealthy. in gold and silver and animals and servants. He had it all. And in fact, if you were listening as we read the scripture, Genesis 14, earlier this morning, what did we discover? He had a little personal army of 318 men. These were men that he had trained in his house. Now, the reason they did that, there was no police force. You couldn't ring up the state police and say, I need help. And so if you were a man of wealth, as Abraham was, you had to come up with your own protection. So, Abram had all these people. Now, we left Lot with his tents pitched next to Sodom, but where do we find him in today's chapter? Chapter 14. Well, we read in verse 11 that the conquering kings took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all their food supply and departed, and they also took Lot, Abram's nephew, and his possessions and departed, for he was living in Sodom. Now, when we left him last week, he wasn't living in Sodom. He was living next door to Sodom. Now he's in the city. And when we finish this series on Lot next week, Lord willing, we're going to see that he has a house. You know, this is the house of Lot, and he's well established in the city. Well, here he is. He's in Sodom. And he's conformed to this world. Now, keep in mind that we discovered last week from 2 Peter chapter 2, Lot is a righteous man. He is a saved man. You're going to meet him in heaven one day. That's what the Bible tells me about Lot. I'd never guess it from although I should. And we'll see why, not so much this week, but next. Why I should guess that he is a righteous man. Even in today's chapter, we should see this. But the Bible states it plainly that he is a saved man. But he's living in Sodom. He's conformed to the world. And so what's the big deal? Why not conform to the world? After all, that's where all the fun is, isn't it? And frankly, I'd have to agree, it depends on the kind of fun you want to have. But yes, that's where the wealth is. That's where the parties are. So what's the big problem? Well, chapter 14 shows a big problem for Lot. And the interesting thing is, if I understand the text correctly, the kings of Sodom and Gomorrah didn't get carried away with everybody else. They fled and got caught in the tar pits and apparently left behind. They weren't part of the captives. But Lot was, guilt by association. Well, I've given five things that you see in your outline, in your bulletin, that would indicate why it's not a good idea for a Christian, a saved person, to be conformed to the world. And I'm going to suggest that the first one is that when you're conformed to the world, you lose your identity. You lose your identity. He had lost his pilgrim character. Where were Lot's tents? Last week he was pitching tents near to Sodom. What happened to the tents, Lot? You're living in Sodom now. Where'd they go? The tents indicated that he was a man, and Abram, like him, was a man that realized that our stay here on this earth is just a pilgrimage. This isn't where our permanent residence is. That's why I picked the memory verses that I did for today. Our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. You say, well, aren't we citizens of the United States? We are, and it's okay to exercise the privileges of that citizenship, but you hold a dual citizenship, and the primary one is not the USA. The primary one is heaven. You have two families. We sang about that as we opened the service this morning. You have your biological family, but you have your spiritual family. And I'm here to tell you that the Bible says your spiritual family is the primary one. It's the primary one. Jesus said that in regard to his own family. Jesus was doing his ministry one day, and people came and interrupted and said, Say, your mother and your brothers, they're all outside. Your family's outside. They want to see you. And Jesus, the text says, looked around on his disciples and said, these are my mother and brothers and sisters. These are my family. Now, what about you? Where's your identity? Lot had lost his identity. When the conquering kings came, he looked just like the rest of the citizens of Sodom. And I suspect, this isn't in the text, I'm just going to ad lib this, so to speak. But I don't imagine that Lot got very well by saying, oh, wait a minute, I'm not part of this crowd. You don't need to take me captive. I'm not with them. I'm Abram's nephew. I don't imagine he got very far with that line of defense. Off he went. He'd lost his identity. He had lost his pilgrim character, and it was because of evil associations. Remember what we saw in chapter 13 last week? The men of Sodom were sinners exceedingly before the Lord. Now, every human being is a sinner. We come into this world that way. But these people were excessive sinners, and that was God's judgment, not man's. They were exceedingly wicked before the Lord. And sinners against the Lord. And that's the people with whom Lot associated. Now, I think we may have mentioned this last week, but I think it bears repetition if we did. And that is that, you know, Lot could have, like us, had a lot of rationalizations as to why he needed to live in Sodom. You know, well, they need to hear the gospel in Sodom. And see, I can, if I'm pitched next door to them, it makes it easy. And then, you know, I discovered after I'd pitched my tents next door to them, it was even easier when you went inside Sodom, when you just lived in there. And after all, didn't Jesus associate with sinners and publicans and the dregs of society, etc.? And my response to that is, yes, he loved them and cared for them. He did not live with them. He lived with his disciples. He lived with the family of God. He did not live in the midst of the sinners. He spoke to them. He cared for them. I'm thinking of John chapter 8 and the woman taken in adultery. Did he care for that woman? He did indeed. Did he forgive that woman? He did indeed. But he didn't go to her house. Same way with any of the other sinners that Jesus encountered. If they became his disciples, that was another matter. But they came to him. He didn't go to them to live and to be disciples. They came and followed him. And so we have those kind of excuses today, don't we? I don't know if Lot made any such rationalization, but I know Christians do today. Here's why I need to, and then you fill in the blank. And we put this spiritual hypocrisy on our own desires and our own actions. But when we do that, we lose our identity as believers in Christ. And by the way, as I know we mentioned this last week, we'll say it again and again through this series, Lot did not influence Sodom for the better. Sodom influenced Lot for the worse. And 'twas ever thus. Don't think it's different. Well, you know, this that was then, this is now. It's all the same. Sinners are sinners today, just as they were then. And followers of God like Abram still follow God like Abram, not like Lot. Well, what's the second thing? You'll lose your security. You know, Abram had to develop his own bodyguard in order to protect his family and his goods, etc. And I'm sure that Lot thought, well, you know, if I go and live in Sodom, The king of Sodom is going to take care of all this. You know, all I have to do is look to the king. He's got his army. And when the enemy came, he did have an army, didn't he? By the time the enemy was through, he didn't have an army anymore. But he had one to begin with. And Lot thought, you know, this is the way of security. You know, you conform to the world and you've got security. And we do that today, don't we? We think that if we follow the world's plan for our finances and our, you know, this and that and the other thing, that constitutes security. Everything's going to be hunky-dory for me right here. Well, there are some of you here that are old enough to remember the Great Depression. Everybody thought everything was fine then, too. And overnight, it wasn't so fine anymore. It wasn't so fine anymore. Don't think that can't happen again. It most certainly can. Our security is in Christ, and I'm not limiting that only to our spiritual, our eternal security, but our security in terms of our personal possessions, our security in terms of our persons, they all belong to the Lord. Brother George used to say, and I don't think this was original with George, but it was good that he repeated it for us, that we are immortal here. We cannot die until God is through with us. That probably wasn't the right way to say that. God is never through with us, but until his purpose for here is done. We can't die. It won't happen. God is in control. He is our security. And that's why Paul, and I know it wasn't that long ago that we looked at 2 Timothy chapter 4, Paul says, and he's facing execution, and he knows it. And he knows very well that when Nero is through with him, he's going to be dead. But he says at the end of that chapter, the Lord will deliver me from every evil deed and bring me safely into his heavenly kingdom. For Nero to cut his head off was a deliverance from an evil deed. It was the entrance into the heavenly kingdom. But it wasn't going to happen until God's purpose for Paul had ended. His purpose on this earth. And then he had a greater purpose, a higher purpose. And over the past year or so, we've had a lot of our brothers and sisters whose purpose here on earth has come to its end. And we miss them here, but they've been called to a higher purpose. They've been promoted. You know, when you graduate from high school or college or whatever, we don't look at that, oh, it's terrible, he graduates, no, it's an entrance into more and better and more wonderful. Should we not look on the death of the saints in that way? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. It ought to be to us as well. But he's our security, not the king or the president or the governor, or our security is in Christ Jesus. But when you conform to the world, you lose sight of that fact. And you think that your security is wrapped up right here. You also lose your possessions. Guess what happened when Lot was captured by the enemy? He lost everything he had. Remember the reason last week that we saw that he had to split from Abram? They had to separate? Why was that? Lot had too many possessions. Abraham had great wealth as well. They couldn't live together as they had before. Their possessions had become too great. Do you know what happened now? Lot lost everything. Abram didn't lose anything, but Lot lost it. And it was from his association with the people of Sodom. If he hadn't been in Sodom, none of this would have happened. But all that Lot thought was most important disappeared because it belonged to the enemy now. It belonged to the conquerors. What about your possessions? And everyone in this room has some. Some have much, some have little, but all of us have some possessions. Are you relying on the world to protect your possessions? You know, a lot of Christians must be, because these financial seminars are... We may be the only church in Valdosta that hasn't had a financial seminar at our church yet. Well, I don't see much need for one because, well, number one, I'm among the crowd that doesn't have too many finances to protect anyway. But even if I were, I'm not looking to some guys or gals thinking about how to manipulate the markets and this sort of thing. The Lord watches. It belongs to Him. And maybe that is the single difference in terms of possessions between Abram and Lot. Abram realized that it all belonged to the Lord. Lot thought it all belonged to him. And now it all belongs to Chedorlaomer. By the way, do you know where these people came from? Modern day Iraq and Iran. That's where Elam and Shinar and all these places are. So anyway, yeah, it's all theirs now, Lot. He lost more than that. He'd accumulated it over years and it was gone in a day. He lost something else as well. He lost his freedom. He was a slave now. That's what Lot had become. He was the slave of Chedorlaomer and his confederates, his associates. Yeah. So Lot wasn't free. You know, a lot of times we conform to the world because we want to be free of all these restrictions that God puts on us. You know, boy, if I'm part of the world, I can really be free. Well, you're not. You're a slave of sin. That's what the New Testament says. To whom you submit yourself, that's whose slave you are. And if you conform to the world, you become what the world is. You become enslaved to the things of this world. Whether it's possessions or prestige or power or whatever else this world offers. You become the slave of those things. You don't own them, they own you. And now here is our friend Lot, our brother Lot, and he's a slave of this conquering king. Now, I'm going to pause at this point and spiritualize our text just a little bit for us so we can see a personal application here. Chedorlaomer is like the devil. Lot is like the carnal Christian. And Abram, in this case, is going to be like the Lord Jesus Christ. He's going to come to the rescue. He's Lot's deliverer. And so there is this typology here, if you will. I don't want to press this too far. I just want to point out that in terms of application, you and I can lose our freedom as well, our spiritual freedom. We can become the slaves of sin if we become conformed to this world, to the same pattern as this world. By the way, while I'm paused here, let me also draw your thoughts back to Romans 12:2 that we used to introduce the message. Do not be conformed to this world. It's a word that means to have the same outer appearance, but not inner. And Lot is conformed to the world in that sense. The inner reality is he's a righteous man, but on the outside he's lost that. He looks and appears like the people of Sodom. He may never have engaged one time in the sins of Sodom, but to the outward eye, he looks just like everybody else. There's no difference. And that's one of the things that I find so discouraging about Christendom today is the emphasis that we have. We want to be just like the world. People want to be as much like the world as they can. That's the Lot syndrome. I want to be as close to Sodom as I can. You lose your freedom when you do that, and that brings us to our final point. You lose your perception. We read in our chapter that Abram comes to the rescue. He delivers all the people, and verse 16 says he brought back all the goods and also brought back his relative Lot with his possessions and also the women and the people. So God came to the rescue. And lo and behold, Lot's not a slave anymore. His freedom's been restored. Even his possessions have come back to him. And what does Lot do? Do you read anywhere that Lot gives thanks? That he builds an altar? None of this. What does he go back with Abram? No, he goes back to Sodom. Because the next time we'll see Lot, he's in Sodom again. He went right back to the same city. He learned nothing. Now, before you get too carried away with how much better we are than Lot, how many times have you been in a situation and it was going to be bad, and then, lo and behold, things turned out well, everything turned out the way you wanted, and you kind of went, "Whew, that was a close one. I got away with it that time. You know, I think I can get away with it again. I can, you know, something will happen. Someone will come to the rescue. Uncle Abram will be there one more time." Have you ever been in that position? I'll bet all of us have at one time or another. Maybe not as desperate as Lot's situation here, but in some way or another, maybe in school, maybe in our employment or something, and we almost get it, and we think, "I got away with it that time." Is that what Lot was thinking? I don't know. But I know what Rick thinks, and I know what other people think at times as well. You come within a hairbreadth. Can I tell you a little story about myself? Second grade. By the way, I know no one understands this anymore, but these were the days when teachers had paddles and used them. And they didn't have to take you to the principal first and get witnesses and all this sort of thing. When you were bad, they used the paddle. And I don't know if it was just because I was only in second grade, but that paddle looked about 6 feet tall. Anyway, our teacher had to leave the room for a moment. And some of us, who shall remain nameless, got out of their chairs. And she had warned us before she left, "Don't you get out." She knew us well. Anyway, some of us got out of our chairs and we were running around and cutting up. And it just so happened that I sat back down an instant before Miss Harrison walked back into the room. But not everyone had got back to their desks. And so there was a paddling, and Miss Harrison had a word for me. She said, "You weren't out of your seat when I stepped through the door, so you didn't get a paddling, but I know you were out of your seat." I know you were out of your seat. And she was right. And she probably heard me holler. But anyway, the point is how often we get it, and of course that's a little minor situation. We laugh about it now. If I'd have gotten a paddling that day, I wouldn't have laughed about it. But anyway, because that woman knew how to paddle. Anyway, my point is that we get away with things, or we think we're getting away with them. That's part of losing our perception. We lose the perception of who we are and what God has done for us. And we think that we got away with something. We do not get away with anything. Lot didn't either, but God was gracious to him, sent Abram to the rescue, and Lot was restored, but I don't think he was thankful. I don't think he was grateful. And he goes back to Sodom. I don't know how many times I've seen that in the lives of Christians. They come through a situation, they get out of the situation, and before very long, they're right back in it again. Same oppression, same sin. And so, Conformity to the world is a real danger. Don't be conformed to the world. I want to close the message with a New Testament text, 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. And I'd like you to look at that. It's not, of course, our memory work this week or next week, but I think it will help us to comprehend what this incident in the life of Lot is all about. But we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as from the Lord, the Spirit, or the Spirit of the Lord. You say, now, what does that have to do with everything we've been talking about? I think it has everything to do with what we've been talking about. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. What did we discover about Lot last time? He was a man who walked by sight, not by faith. We need to be people who walk by faith, and then we won't be conformed to this world. Lot was enamored with Sodom. Can I update that a little bit? He was in love with Las Vegas or New York or what, you know, pick whatever famous city and place that you. It was glitzy. It was attractive. It was designed to be. It was designed to be. I've never been to Las Vegas, but I understand that the casinos are built without, at like mazes and without any windows, because they want to keep you in so that you'll keep gambling while you're there. They're designed to keep you in. Well, we get into places like that, into places like Sodom in our lives. And the devil designs to keep us in. But if instead of looking at the glitz and the lights and the entertainment and all this sort of thing, we are beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The Bible says it is the mirror. And what we ought to see there is not the glory of Sodom, but the glory of the Lord. And when our eyes are fixed on Him, then we're transformed into that same image from glory to glory. I don't know if you can form a picture in your mind. I don't like to use the word visualize, but I guess it's appropriate. But if you can form a picture in your mind of looking into a glass and seeing not you, but the Lord, and the longer you stare at it, the more you look like what you're seeing in the glass, and the less you look like you. Now, you say, boy, that sounds like magic. You've been reading The Hobbit or something too much. No, I'm not obsessed with those things. But the point is, can I say this and not be misunderstood? It is magic. It's spiritual transformation. Thank you, brother. Yes, that's how it works. That's how it works. And that was Lot's problem. His eyes were on Sodom and not on the things of the Lord. He was, again, I know this is an oversimplification, but can we make it this way? Where was Sodom? It was way down in the valley. Where was Abram? He was up on the mountains. It's all the difference in the world. It's all the difference in the world. Abram's looking up and Lot's looking down. And so here we are. We behold as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and the Spirit of God is transforming us from glory to glory. A little bit, a little bit, a little bit, a little bit, and in the end, we're going to look like Him. And I'm going to tell you something. The day is coming. Even Lot's going to look like Him. But oh, what a racking change that will be. So, what about you? Do you want to follow Lot in his conformity with the world and go through the problems that he went through? And everyone has problems. Abram had his set too, but they weren't like Lot's. And what we're going to discover is that the man who loved Sodom and loved the possessions is going to end up in a hole in the dirt with nothing. With nothing. And I tell you, that's what happens to Christians as well. Let's pray together. Father, we do thank you for this sobering example of our brother Lot, who in this incident came close to losing it all and yet did not take heed to the warning that you were giving him. And so, our Father, may we take heed. We also face our set of temptations, and we also have our failures, but may we look to Jesus in the Word of God, in the mirror of the Word, and may the Spirit of God use that Word of God in what appears to us to be almost a magical way to transform us into the image of Christ. And may it be to His glory, for we ask this in His name. Amen. Now, if Sheila and Daryl will help us to close our service, 397 in your hymn book, 397, I have decided to follow Jesus. Has that been your decision? Maybe you need to decide to follow Him as your Savior this morning. You've never trusted Him to save you. If that's the case, while we sing, why don't you step out and walk down to the front and meet me here. We'll open the Bible together, and you can leave here knowing that you are a righteous person in the sight of God because you've put your trust in Christ. Maybe you're a Christian already, but like Lot, you haven't been living for the Lord, and you would like that to change today. Come and talk to me as well. Brother?